title of the sermon this morning is Hate the Homo. Hate the Homo.
Amen.
And, hate is a very biblical concept. And, just that message alone right there, that title right there would turn a lot of people off today. And this message needs to be preached. It was real refreshing me this morning to, on my drive down here, listen to the various YouTube channels that I've subscribed to, different Baptist preachers. And it's nice to see that everyone's kind of preaching the same thing this morning.
Amen.
As a preacher, sometimes I'm a little reluctant to preach on a topic I know a lot of other people are going to be preaching about. Just because I know, hey, that sermon's going to be covered. Most of the people are probably going to listen to that anyway. I could preach on something else. With the current events, the things that have taken place, recently, and I already kind of talked about this Thursday night, but we're going to go ahead and talk about it some more. And it was refreshing to me to hear that there's a lot of Baptist preachers getting up in the pulpits this morning and telling the truth about these homos, these fags, these queers, and preaching the Bible, what it says about it. Because unfortunately today, a lot of Baptist preachers they're cowering. They're backing down. They're already hiding. They're already trying to go underground as it is. And, I've heard people say, Biden's in the White House now. Now all these Baptist preachers are going to start preaching these fiery sermons. I think most of them have forgotten how to even preach hard anymore. I think most of them are just going to, the events that have taken place at First Words Baptist Church in L.A., that's just going to send, those that are already scared even further into hiding. But that's not going to be the case here. We're going to get up this morning, and I'm going to teach you why you should hate the homosexual, why you should hate the queer, why you should hate the fag today.
Amen.
It's a biblical concept, and basically because of their nature, who they are, and the fact that God has already rejected them. I'm not going to sit here and fall over myself like a lot of Christians today. I'm already getting Facebook messages on our church's website, our church's Facebook, of people, lamenting for the homosexual. And following these Christians that just want to fall over themselves, trying to minister to people that God has given up and given over and has turned over a reprobate mind. I'm not going to waste my time sugarcoating it. I'm just going to preach the Bible this morning, and you can like it or lump it. Okay? Amen. So the Bible says here in Psalm 139, it says, well, should I hate anybody? Is that just saying you should hate anybody? A lot of Christians today would just, be just sent reeling back from that. What do you mean, hate somebody? Well, the Bible says that there's people that God hates.
Amen.
God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. That's not in the Bible, friend. That's the gospel of Gandhi. Okay? And look, not all sin is equal. And I understand that, there is a kernel of truth to that statement, okay? That there are certain, we love people that are sinful people. We're sinful people, and God loves us. There's a lot of sins, a lot of sinners out there that although I don't approve, the Bible condemns what they're doing, I don't approve what they're doing, I still love that person. I still want that person to be saved. But you know what? There's some people that the Bible teaches us that are actually given over to what's called a reprobate mind, that are the enemies of God, that God hates them. You know what? If they're God's enemy, they're my enemy.
Amen.
And I'm not gonna love them and hate their most abominable, filthy, wicked lifestyle that they live. I'm gonna hate their sin of sodomy, and I'm gonna hate them too.
Amen.
Because the people that are guilty of that sin are the enemies of God. That's the only reason they're even capable of these sins.
Right.
It's because they've been rejected by God. And we're gonna look at that this morning. Let me just get a few things off my chest and get the rant over, and hopefully we can get into some doctrine here. But look here in Psalms 139, verse 19, it says, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. Now, he's not saying perfect hatred like there's a bad hatred and there's a good hatred. He's saying, I hate them completely. But there is absolutely no love in my heart for these people. That's what David's saying. I hate them with complete hatred. Every bounce of my being is only hate towards these people. And who is it that he hates? Everybody? Every sinner? No. He hates them that hate thee, O Lord. That's who he hates. The person that hates God. Those that don't even entertain God in their knowledge. That have made themselves the enemy of God. I'm going to teach you this morning why you should hate the homo, if you don't already. Understand the true nature of the sodomite. Hollywood and mainstream media, they've got a real clever way of portraying the homosexual the way that they want them to be perceived. They want you to see them as, you know, just these, you know, charismatic, loving, funny people. We want, you know, they're just, you know, they're just a little different, you know, but they're generally good people. They wouldn't hurt anybody.
Right.
Well, you know, that's an illusion. Mm-hmm. You know, and unfortunately, the vast majority of our country have been brainwashed into thinking that. Even people who, you know, would feel disgust and revolt just naturally towards those people have allowed their minds to be so affected where they'll tolerate them now. You know, at least they don't want to be perceived as a bigot or something like that. They just want to be perceived as going along, you know, not making any waves. So they're not going to, you know, actually say what they feel. But I'm telling you, the vast majority of people, just a natural reaction towards these type of people and the sin of sodomy is disgust. It's just a natural reaction. You need to understand the true nature of the sodomite. And don't let the media pull the wool over your eyes and make you think that they're something that they're not. They're not just nice, friendly people. They're the scum of the earth.
Right.
They're the worst type of people you will find. And you know what? They're showing their true colors. They've proven that. They've proven that with their recent action. And they've taken this to another level by bombing the church. You know, and all these idiots that are out there on social media saying, well, maybe the church did that. I bet the pastor did that so he could get some kind of insurance claim. Well, one, he doesn't own the building, moron. It's, but you know, the real victim in all this is the landlord, you know, financially speaking. And you know, it's just people, but people are out there saying that kind of thing. They're stupid to sit there and think that anybody other than those that were, you know, planning on parading and their transvestite, you know, parade, you know, their pride parade, read that freak show, you know, they're the ones that have, you know, who have perpetuated this crime. Maybe it wasn't the exact people that were there protesting, but it's the people that side with them. You know, and I watched this one news report where they're saying, there's no evidence, we're not sure who did this. It's like, you're not sure who did this? I understand if you say, well, we don't have any exact specific suspect, but do you think just maybe it might have been somebody that was siding with, the freaks that were out there,
right?
You know, Sunday morning, Thursday night, so the Sunday previous, several weeks going on. Understand the true nature of the sodomite, and they're just laying it bare what they really are. You know, and I'm kind of thankful for it. I'm glad. And if you would go over to Genesis chapter 9, keep something in Psalm 139. Actually, you don't have to keep it in there. Just go to Genesis chapter 9. I just read Psalms 139 so we can understand that hating people is a biblical concept.
Yep, man.
That though it might have fallen out of fashion with the liberal churches, and unfortunately a lot of even Baptist churches, it's still there in the Bible. The Bible hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. And I'm not going to change.
If
the Bible says it, that's what I'm going to preach. And the Bible says that there are some people that God hates and that we should hate them too, as we'll see here in a little bit. Understand the true nature of the sodomite this morning. Learn to hate the homo. They are predatory in nature. Look at Genesis chapter 9, verse 20. They're predators every single time. They prey on the weak. They prey on other people. They're the biggest bullies there are, is the sodomite community, the LGBTQHIV community.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 9, verse 20, and Noah began to be a husband, and he was planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and was drunken. Now, Noah, you know, was not doing the right thing here. And there's a little sub, you know, sermon here coming up. You know, he got drunk off of his own wine. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. Now, some people want to debate exactly what was going on here. Look, this is where I believe, and this is my opinion, that Noah was raped by his own son. Okay? It was incestuous. It was predatory in nature. And he said, well, the Bible doesn't explicitly say that. Yeah, because we're talking about Noah, a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, it's a preacher of righteousness. God understands this is going in my book. I'm going to be very delicate about how I put this. You know, God isn't explicit in the scripture. And he's given us enough brain cells to connect the dots here to figure out what's going on in the story. Okay? And it says, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. You know, that's a euphemism, to look on somebody's nakedness. It's talking about, you know, a carnal act that's being performed. And behold, and his two brethren, without, and told his two brethren without. And Shem, you know, these, that's the thing. You know, these sodomites, these reprobates, they love to let everybody know what they're into. You know, they think it's okay. They want to perform some act on somebody and then just kind of let everybody know what kind of filthy beasts they are.
Right.
And unfortunately today, they're out and proud They should be going back in the closet where they belong. Well, they actually belong 6 feet under, according to Scripture. In verse 23, it says, "And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him." He doesn't say that he knew that his son had saw his nakedness. He's saying his younger son had done something unto him. And we can draw conclusions to what was done there. Again, God is being very careful. I mean, if it was just he walked in and saw his nakedness and, you know, put some whipped cream in his hand and tickled his nose and make him smack himself or something like that, some stupid prank, do you think that verse 25 would follow? It says, and he said, "Cursed be Cain." He gets up and curses his own son. Look, in order to get up and to curse your own offspring, something pretty bad has got to happen. You know, I don't care if my kid went out and you know, slashed all four tires on the car and keyed it, you know, and did whatever. It would take a lot for me to, I'm going to be mad, and there's going to be repercussions, don't get me wrong. But it's going to take a lot for me to curse my own child. In fact, my children, you know, if God willing, all get saved, they're not ever going to do anything that would make me do that. Because it takes a lot, and I believe that's what's taking place here. He said, "Cursed be Cain, and a servant shall be named unto his brethren." So, first of all, one of the first examples that we have of the homosexual in the Scripture is that they are predatory in nature. And that's every example in Scripture. Every time you read about the sodomite in Scripture, you read how they are predators. To the point where they're even rapists and incestuous like Ham. There's nothing beneath them. And so often, we don't have time to get it all. I've got pages of notes here this morning, and we probably don't have time to get it all. But you know what's amazing to me is when you study the subject out, how closely it's so often related in the context of bestiality. You know, and I believe that is referring to the actual act with an animal. But it's also kind of ironic that the Bible calls them beasts, doesn't it? So there's nothing beneath these people. Okay, and this is the picture that the Bible is painting this morning. Ham preyed upon the weak, right? How? Through the use of alcohol. You know, and that should be a real strong warning to anybody that would think getting drunk is a good idea. Look, I personally know people, and I'm sure if we went around the room and talked, there would probably be several people in this room that could tell you about other people that were taken advantage of when they were drunk. I know of people, more than one person, who had horrible things happen to them when they were drunk. They were in a drunken stupor, blacked out. People took advantage of them and did things to them. They had horrible repercussions in their life. The Bible says in Habakkuk, "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and that makest him drunk, and also that thou might look on their nakedness." Look, that's how a lot of these people operate. The date rape drug. You know, they slip something in the drink, they get you passed out so they can do whatever they want to, because they know no normal person would ever consent to the type of things that they like to do to people. So they have to get them drunk and get them passed out. You know, this is kind of just a sub-sermon here, just a little sub-point in the sermon, a warning against the dangers of alcohol. You know, you think you're going to go out and have a good time, you don't know what's going to, you know. I'm sure when Noah was tipping back the bottle that day, he wasn't thinking, later I'm going to get, you know, raped by my own son. But that's what happened. And I'm sure if he knew that was going to happen, he probably wouldn't have done what he did. So that's, you know, another sermon in and of itself. Go to Judges chapter 19. You know, I know there's a lot of familiar scriptures, but we need to get these things down in our mind. We need to let these things sink in and settle in and determine to hate the homo this morning.
Amen.
And nothing's going to help you better than the Bible.
Amen.
Not my opinion, not something I just conjured up out of thin air, but what the Bible actually says about these people. If we read it and understand it, then we'll learn to hate the homo like
Amen.
We should. Bible says in Judges chapter 19, look at verse 22. "Now as they were making merry, making their hearts merry," of course, is a story about the Levite who was going to get his concubine back. I'm sure we're all familiar with this. And the old man brings him into his home to abide there in the night. It says they were making merry. "Behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, sons of the devil, reprobates, rejected by God." That's how that should read there too as well. "Beset the house round about and beat at the door." Well, there's just something about structures, just physical structures. They always like to surround structures of people that they want to prey upon. Like these protests. They go out there and they beat at the door. They get out their blowhorns. They bring in their rock bands to play songs saying, "Hail Satan." You know, they get their signs out. They like to make a big tumult, a big noise. They like to surround buildings where God's people are and make a big noise. They like to beset it round about and beat at the door. "And spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, Bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him." And that is another euphemism for performing, you know, a carnal physical act upon him. We all, you know, if you don't know, you're probably too young to know. But those of us that know, know. And it says in verse 23, "And the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly." Notice what this guy said about it. God, you know, he said, don't do wickedly. He didn't say, don't try to practice your lifestyle. Don't try to spread your pride here. He called it wickedness. And would to God that enough preachers today, they'll say that much, maybe. It's a sin, and then they'll duck and run and hide.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what it is. It's wicked. He's saying, "Seeing this man is coming to my house, do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them will I bring me out, and humble ye them. And do with them what seemeth good unto you, but unto this man do no so vile a thing." Now, this is, you know, this is not the right reaction, in my opinion. You know, the guy should have gone out on his shield or something. I don't know. But, you know, to the point where you're offering up your own daughter and this other guy, you know, volunteering somebody else's, you know, concubine, you know. But it just shows you what, you know, what will happen in your life when you tolerate these people. Because this guy's living among them. He's like Lot, like we're going to read about in a minute. When you dwell and live among these wicked, vile people, they affect you. And they make you, you'll start making decisions and going along with things that you never thought you would. It says there in verse 25, "But the men would not hearken to the man, so the man took his concubine and brought her forth, and they knew her and abused her all the night long until the morning when the day began to spring. They let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light." So they basically, you know, again, just showing us why we should hate the homo this morning, because they're predators, they're rapists. That's what they did to this woman. This is what they wanted to do to this man. And it shows you that they go both ways. I mean, they're associated with bestiality. You know, they'll go both ways. There's nothing beneath them. You know, and that's how their filthy diseases, like AIDS, cross over into the straight community. It's because these people, you know, through drug use and other means, I understand. But you know what? They'll rape this woman just as soon as they rape a man. Because they've been given over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And we know the story here, that it says there in verse 27, "And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. Behold, the woman, the concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, Up, let us be going. But none answered. And the man took her upon an ass, and the man rose up and gat him unto his place. When he was come to the house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her, together with her bones in 12 pieces, and sent all the coasts of Israel." I mean, how's that? That's bolder than any meme or Facebook post I could put up, you know, railing on the homeless. This guy's cutting up his concubine and sending it out to all the coasts of Israel. "And it was so that all that saw it said, There is no such deed done nor seen from this day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider it, take advice, and speak your minds." You know, the other thing I want to point out in the story is that not only is nothing beneath them, that they're predators, that they'll take anything that they can get their hands on and do whatever they want with it, even if it means, you know, their own taking somebody's life in the process, because they're such predators. But nothing is holy to these people. Nothing is holy. You know, their minds have been seared with a hot iron. Their conscience is seared. There's nothing holy to them. Because if you recall in the story, you know, move along for the sake of time, but this man that this happened to was a Levite. He was, you know, wasn't necessarily a priest, but he was in the service of God. And they, you know, they probably would have known this. This could have been expressed to them, but nothing is beneath them. There's nothing holy to these people. As evidenced by the fact that they're bombing a church isn't beneath them. Threatening a man of God isn't beneath them. Threatening people's children is not beneath them. They're predators. You should hate them.
Amen.
Have no love in your heart for the homeless this morning, because they have no love for you.
Right.
And you know what? If you give them an inch, they'll take a foot. And they want everybody to... And because remember, I've been around long enough and it's gone quickly because I've been around that long, but I remember when it was just about, oh, they just want to get married. And then, you know, you give them that, well, okay, we'll let them get married. Oh, well, then now they just want to adopt. Oh, so now they can adopt kids. And now it's, you know, oh, now there should, you know, love has no age. Now it's like, you know, children can consent to, you know, these acts that we want to perform. The North American Man-Boy Love Association. You know, I don't like talking about these things. This isn't a pleasant subject, but we have to talk about it because this is what's going on in our world today. You know, I wish there was some other sin or some other thing going on in our society and our culture that I had to get up and rant and rave about. But this is it. This is the topic. This is where we're at in this modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah called America.
True.
Where we have to get up and talk about these things. And unfortunately, because it hasn't been talked about for so long, that's why these type of things are taking place. Because the pulpits of America are weak and soft and cold, and there's not a man of God to stand up and tell it like it is. But not in Tucson. I'm going to get up and tell you the truth this morning about these people and teach you to hate these sodomites. Because they hate you. Mark it down. Nothing is holy and nothing is beneath them. They're predatory in their very nature. The Bible says in Titus, go to Jude chapter 1, unto all pure, unto the pure, all things are pure. But to them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. The innocence of your child is not pure to them. The innocence of their mind is not pure to them. It's defiled. Amen. They want their minds to be defiled, and they want to defile as many other minds as they can by any means necessary.
True.
Oh, why are you so mad? Why do you hate the homeless morning? Because they hate us. They hate me, they hate you, they hate your family, they hate everything that's pure and good and wholesome, and they want to defile it. That's why I hate the homo this morning, and that's why you should hate them too. That's why people need to hear this sermon and sermons like it and pull their mind out of the mainstream media and get their head in God's book and understand the truth this morning about what these people are really like so they can learn to hate them. Because they have an enemy whether they know it or not. Age is not a barrier to them. Gender is not a barrier to them. Nothing is beneath them. You know, in Genesis chapter 19, a very familiar story about Sodom and Gomorrah, it says that when they laid down the visitors, the two angels that came into that city, they laid down the men of that city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house roundabout. There they are again, gathering around, you know, the physical structure where the man, where God's servants were, trying to rape them as well. It says, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. I believe that that place had gotten so wicked that even, you know, young teenagers, young children were already given over to reprobate minds. Say, is that possible? Yes. I've seen it with my own two eyes. I've seen young children grow up in godless homes, in a godless public school system, and turn into reprobates at a very young age. It can happen. Kids can reject God. They can reject God 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. They can learn to hate God. They can be taught by their parents to hate God, to hate the Bible, to despise those that are good at a very young age. And you better believe that the cartoons, the programming that's on television, the school systems today, it's geared towards teaching our children to hate God, to doubt God, to not believe the Bible. And it's no wonder that they turn into reprobates, right, as young as they do. And they do. By the time a lot of them get to middle school, you don't think the middle schools across America aren't just filled with reprobates this morning? I guarantee they are.
Yeah.
Because they've been brainwashed, they've been taught to hate God from a young age. Oh, you came from a primordial soup billions of years ago, and there is no God, and you know there's no right or wrong. You just do whatever you want, and they're being taught all kinds of filth in these public school systems at a very young age. You're in Jude chapter 1, look at verse 7. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and strength and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. What does strange flesh mean? It means foreign. Not meaning it's like, you know, it's a foreigner. It's not talking about, you know, interracial, you know, relationships here. It's talking about the fact that they're going after flesh that normal people would not go after. You know, and that's men with men, women with women. That is strange. Men do not naturally desire other men. Women do not naturally desire other women. As we'll read in Romans chapter 1 this morning in a minute. But not only that, it also means that strange flesh would need children. And again, unpleasant topic, but we're going to talk about it. Because the world talks about it, and they excuse it. You know, I saw a program the other day where they're excusing these people. Saying, well, what about the pedophile, you know, who understands he's a pedophile but doesn't want to harm children and hasn't done it yet? How was he supposed to get any help? There's no helping an individual like that. Because people that is strange flesh, to desire the flesh of a child. It's strange. To desire people who aren't even developed to the point to even participate in any of these acts. It's strange. It's unnatural.
Right.
And if that's what somebody's got to that point, there's no helping with them. And let me just go ahead and say, the best thing they could do for society is put a gun to their head and pull the trigger.
Amen.
And off themselves.
Yep.
Since our government won't do it. And again, we don't advocate taking matters into our own hands. But you know what? We're not going to shy away from what the Bible says. The Bible says that public execution of homosexuals by the government is what's supposed to happen according to God's law.
Right.
Old Testament and New.
That's right.
It says they're worthy of death. It says here that those people that are going after strange flesh in Jude chapter 1 are set forth for an example. That's the modern day example of what God thinks about people who go after strange flesh. The sodomite community, the pedophiles of this world. So, Sodom and Gomorrah, that's Old Testament. Yeah, but Jude is pointing us to that example, saying, this is what God thinks about it today. That people that are involved in it, that go after strange flesh, are an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Not being pleaded with to abandon their lifestyle and come to Christ. No, God says, you know what? They're going to suffer eternal fire. And they might get away with it in this world, because we have such a spineless society anymore that's afraid to say anything. Spineless people behind pulpits. Spineless people in positions of power. They can go ahead and get away with it in this world, but they're not going to get away with it in the afterlife.
Amen.
Mark it down.
Yeah, true.
It's eternal vengeance, eternal destruction, and fire for these homos.
Amen.
Oh, God doesn't hate them. So God's just going to burn them in fire forever in hell because he loves them so much? Give me a break. No, God doesn't hate anyone. Explain hell to me then.
Right.
God hates these people. I hate them. And if you don't already hate them, you should. Because they're predatory in nature. Nothing's beneath them. Nothing is holy to them. Not even age. Not even that. They'll go after all kinds of strange flesh. And look, you know, and I could tell just by looking around the room this morning, even bringing this up, it makes your stomach turn. I remember sitting in fiery sermons where this topic was brought up, and you know when before you throw up, you kind of get that mucus in the back of your throat? Literally having to hear this and understand that this is the type of thing that's out there, literally making me physically want to puke. Because that is the natural reaction when you hear about things like this. If you're a normal human being, and you start to understand the kind of filth that these people are involved in, it will make you want to puke. At least it should. That's the natural reaction, one of disgust. I should have had you stay in Judges if you want to turn over there to chapter 20. Following up on our story with the concubine, the man that hacked her in pieces and sent it out all the coast of Israel, it says in verse 1, then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man from Dan even to Beersheba with the land of Gilead unto the Lord in Mizpah. And the chief of the people, even all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew sword. Jump down to verse 4. It says there in the latter, and then said the children of Israel, tell us how this was this wickedness. And the Levite, husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, I came into Gibeah and that belonged unto Benjamin, and my concubine to Lot, and the men of Gibeah rose against me, and beset the house round about upon me by night, and thought to have slain me, and my concubine have they forged that she is dead. So he's not really telling the whole truth here. They weren't just trying to kill you and take your concubine. They wanted to know you. I don't know if he's just ignorant of the facts here or he's just trying to kind of maybe, you know, they're bad, but they're not bad. And I took my concubine and cut her in pieces and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. Behold, ye are all the children of Israel. Give here your advice and counsel. And all the people rose as one man, saying, we will not any of us go to his tent, neither will any of us turn into his house. But now this shall be the thing that we shall do in Gibeah. We shall go up by lot against it, and we shall take uh, Take 10 men of 100 throughout the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 of 10,000 to fetch a victual for the people, that they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that was wrought Israel." So they hear the case, and their judgment is, well, we're all going to go up there, and we're going to deal with it. You know, and this isn't mob rule. This is under the system of the judges. This is how they did things. You know, they would hear a case out. They would consult the Lord's Day. They'll make a decision, and then they, and all in one accord, went up there. This is everybody throughout the whole nation is saying, they're worthy. We're going to go up and deal with this. We're not just going to change the channel. We're not just going to listen to a 5-minute newsreel and go, "Oh, that's too bad. Well, you know, if you preach hate, that's what you can expect, that kind of thing to happen." Flip. They're hearing about, you know, these wicked people rising up and doing vile things, and they're doing something about it. And as bad as Israel was, at least they got that right. America doesn't even have the stones for that anymore. So who's worse off today, us or them? And we will take, let's just jump into verse 12. Verse 11. "So all the men of Israel were gathered together against the city, knit together as one man. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, 'What wickedness is this that is done among you? Now therefore, deliver us the men, the children of Beulah, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death, and hear and put away the evil from Israel.'" Look, they had at least had enough righteousness left in them to understand that if they allowed this type of thing to go on in their country, that they were going to be destroyed by God. That God was going to judge them. You know, and God, and I don't know if anyone's noticed around here lately, but God is judging his country.
Yeah.
COVID, natural disasters, fires burning all over California, the West Coast, the most liberal parts of the country. Natural disasters, and God is judging. And you know what? God's not done. And if God's not, you know, and I would like to think that there's some light at the end of the tunnel with this COVID stuff, but now I'm hearing about how it's mutating in Africa and Europe, and now a new strand is coming over. So, sorry to break it to you, God might not be done judging his country. And people, you know, people today are just too stupid, too far gone from understanding how God, who God is. They can't connect the dots. Oh, we're letting all this filth and iniquity just fill our land, and then all these bad things are happening. But, I'm sure that's just the way things have always been. At least these people, you know, in this country had enough righteousness to deal with the wickedness and the vile, filthy people that were living in there. Understanding that they need to put away evil from Israel. And they're saying, and notice what they call them, the children of Belial. There's that phrase again, these reprobates, calling them what they are, telling, and not, you know, don't hand over those, you know, people who just, you know, they just love one another. They just love different people. You know, they just express love in a different way. No, children of Belial is what they call them.
That's right.
"But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities of Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel." You know, this topic draws a line in the sand, doesn't it? You find out real quick where people land on it, too. And unfortunately today, you know, a lot of Baptist preachers would end up on the wrong side. They would be like the children of Benjamin. They're not going to deliver the child of Belial over to, you know, they're not going to run them out of town or anything like that. They're not going to run them out of their church. No, they're going to open their doors wide and say, "Come in, participate in the children's program." There's literally Baptist churches, independent Baptist churches out there that are making the case for putting a homo in children's ministries. That's where we're at today. And you wonder why a sermon like this and others that like this that have been preached raise, you know, ruffle so many feathers and cause such a ruckus. It's because people have forgotten to hate the homo. And that's where we're at. A lot of Baptist churches, you know where they fall on this line that's been drawn in the sand today? On the side of Benjamin. Nope, we're not going to deliver them. We're not going to get them out of here. We're going to keep them. We're going to let, they're welcome here. They can come right in. Not in this church, buddy. Never, never will they ever be allowed in this church.
Amen.
It'll be over my dead body.
Amen.
You'll have to take me out before that'll ever happen. It's not going to happen. They're not allowed in this church, period. Yeah. Don't bring your homo cousin, your homo relative, your homo friend, if you've got them. And we'll talk about what you should do in that instance towards the end of the sermon, which may or may not be anytime soon. Don't bring them here because they will be kicked out. I'm not going to spare anybody's feelings. I don't let predators in this church.
Amen.
Period. Because that's what they are. They're predators. Nothing's beneath them. And you know what? Here's a lesson. Here's another neat thing about, you want to learn how to hate the homeless morning? Understand their true nature. They're predators. You know what else they are? Implacable. And you know what? The world's going to find out real quick about this one. Because and it just boggles the mind how many of these politicians just think they can just, you know, take the fiery man of God and the reprobate and just, you know, oh, just join hands. Let's just sit down and talk it out. Let's just have a peace, you know, talk. Let's all come to one accord. It's never going to happen. Because if you're taking this stand, we're never going to give an inch. You know what? And they're going to take every inch they can get. There is no compromising with these people. They're implacable. That's what the Bible says. We know the story of Genesis chapter 19. I'm going to just move along very quickly here for the sake of time. But if you're not familiar with the story of Genesis 19, that's your reading assignment this morning. You need to go home after church today and read Genesis 19 if you don't know what I'm talking about. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, for the children's Bible stories time today, it's Genesis 19. Okay? And they need to understand this. Amen. And there's nothing that's off limits to in my household to the children when it comes to the Bible. And we know the story how when the angels were brought into Lot's house, the men came and wanted to take them out and have their way with them. And then Lot goes out, right, and he says, "Do not so wickedly." And, you know, "These men are coming to my house and under the shadow of my roof." And they said to them in verse 9, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came into Surgeon, and he will needs be a judge." Oh, don't judge. Isn't that what they cry? You know what? I'm going to judge him. I'm going to take this book, God's holy word, I'm going to read it this morning and see what it says about the homo, and I'm going to judge them according to it.
Amen.
You know what a conclusion I'm going to come to? That God hates them.
Amen.
And it says here, they said, "Stand back." And they said, "This one came to sword, and he will need to be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them." So Lot goes out there and tries to, placate the implacable. And what happens? And they said, "Oh, you want to plead their case? You want to try to come to a compromise? You want to try and work things out and just talk it out? We'll deal worse with you." It's kind of ironic. That's what's taking. Well, it's not ironic. In fact, it's just the way you should expect it any other way. That these homos out in El Monte, when this whole thing first kicked off, they got so mad because the mayor wouldn't just come out and condemn the church and take their side. Like the typical politicians, she's just trying to say, "Well, we have to understand that there's the freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and though we might not, and trying to just be a typical politician." And you know what the homo crowd, the Keep Almonte Friendly, most ironic name ever, tried to, what their response was? "Oh, the mayor makes a great point." Is that how the story goes here? "You know what? We had thought about that. You're right. Let's meet up tomorrow morning over coffee, and we'll just talk this out, maybe we'll just get a reach negotiation. Just send out one of them, and we'll let the other one go free." No, that's not how the story goes. This story is showing us that they're implacable, which is exactly why when the mayor of Almonte came out and didn't just wholeheartedly come out on the side of the homos, although she is, by the way, they decided, "Now we're going to protest City Hall." And I saw another news story from the 80s. Look, this isn't the first time a violent group of vile predators have gotten together and bombed a Baptist church. It's happened before. Okay, it happened back in 81. I saw a news article or a video this morning that somebody posted on Facebook. Like, oh, there's nothing new under the sun indeed. They've been doing this, It's funny how they're always the ones that are committing violence. They're always the one, that are bombing churches and that type of thing. And when they found out, and when that Baptist minister decided to take it to City Hall because, they had told the police force to stand down, and he was going to go make a ruckus, got a bunch of other ministers together, and said, "Well, we're going down to City Hall, and we're going to let them know we don't appreciate it." Back in the 80s, before the AIDS epidemic, and this was in San Francisco, when at least there were some people that still had a backbone that could stand up to these bullies, decided to get together and go down there. You know what the homos did? They went down there to City Hall and had their little press conference and held up their signs. What am I getting at? There's no placating these people. The Bible explicitly says in Romans 1 that they are implacable. So why would I give them an inch? Why would I try to tone this down at all for their sake? That's the problem with this country. That's what's been going on for so long. Preachers just backing off a little bit, saying, "Well, I know they're reprobate, but maybe they should be allowed in church." They can't even get saved. What good is church going to do for them? They're implacable. And if you try to go along with them, you know, well, we'll just try to get along. You'll get destroyed. I mean, look at Lot's story. I won't read it for the sake of time, but what happened to Lot? Lot's out there like, oh, do not so wickedly. You know, trying to strike a deal, trying to placate the implacable. How did that turn out for him? Wife turned into a pillar of salt. His daughters that had been, you know, growing up in that filthy culture commit some of the most vile acts with their own father. His life was destroyed. His children's lives were destroyed. And you know why? Because he was just trying to go along to get along, trying to placate the implacable. So if you want to get destroyed by the sodomite, go ahead and try to be friends with them. Go ahead and sit down and try to come to an agreement. And unless you're willing to just hand everything over to them, you know, prepare for war. Because they're going to bring it to you. They're going to come and protest, and they're going to parade their filth, and they're going to bomb buildings, apparently, as well. And, you know, here's another reason why you should hate the homo. Why should you hate the homo? You know, no new scripture this morning. Hopefully we're all familiar with it. One, they're predators every time. Rapists, pedophiles.
Amen.
Nothing's holy to them. They are predators. That's why, wouldn't you hate something that's preying on you? If you were out in the woods and some giant man-eater, and you're unarmed, is chasing you down some, you know, 800-pound, you know, silverback gorilla, or, you know, some giant saber-toothed whatever with horns, and, you know, some grizzly bear is chasing you, are you really going to try and stop and talk to that thing? And that's, you know, some beast, and that's exactly what they are, brute beasts, the Bible calls them. And they have, you know, the proverbial fangs. They're man-eaters. They're destroyers. They're out to destroy people. They're predators. You know what you do to a predator? You get away from them. And, you know, and if possible, you know, put them down.
Amen.
I'm not saying we do it. I'm saying the government should be doing it.
That's right.
I got to put that caveat in every time. Here's another reason why you should hate the homo this morning. Not just because of the fact that they're predators, and not just because of the fact that nothing is beneath them, but also because of the fact that they're reprobate. They're reprobate. And people, this doctrine needs to be, if there's anything you get from the sermon this morning, get this. Okay, and I wish just every Baptist preacher would get up and preach this doctrine because they know it's true. You know where the reprobate doctrine. Oh, Stephen Anderson, Pastor Stephen Anderson, he's the one that came up with that doctrine. Funny, I heard about it before I even knew who he was. It was an old IFB preacher. I remember we were on a bus route picking up kids, and it dawned on us that this family, you know, it has two moms in it. And at the time, you know, I didn't really know what to make of it. I wasn't familiar. I hadn't been taught explicitly what the Bible says, and unfortunately didn't have the character to read it for myself. Thankfully, I've corrected that. But I remember we were having some kind of function, and we were bringing these kids, and the old IFB preacher said, well, I really wonder if we should invite the parents, the two moms, right? I'm like, well, why wouldn't we? Well, because they're reprobate. And that's all he said about it. And I was kind of like, well, what does that mean? I'm in a Baptist church for years and had never been taught the reprobate doctrine, right? But it was understood. I connected the dots later. Oh, that's what he meant by that. And this has been preached throughout all time. I guarantee you this doctrine is as old as this book itself because it's biblical. The reprobate doctrine. This is why you should hate the homo, because God hates them and has rejected them. God hates them so much that he has rejected them and saying they're beyond hope of salvation. They're hopeless. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 6. Know this scripture. Underline it in your Bible. Highlight it. And people need to explain this to me. If you don't agree with this, then explain what the Bible is saying here. Sodomites are reprobate. Reprobate means rejected. Okay, that's what it means. Plain and simple. Look it up in a dictionary. Reprobate silver, verse 30, Jeremiah chapter 6. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Why are they going to call them reprobate silver? Because they have been rejected. Who did the rejecting? The people that are calling them reprobate? No. Not them. They're not the one. I call them reprobate not because I have rejected them, but because God, the Lord, has rejected them. That's what it says here. They shall call them reprobate silver because the Lord has rejected them. Means he's saying, look, there's going to be people that are going to look at a group of people here and say, oh, they are reprobate because God has rejected them. I mean, that's what this means. I mean, this is very, I don't think anybody in the room, I think even the kids this morning are understanding this. How simple a concept this is. That there are certain people that God rejects. And they are called reprobates. They say, well, no, God loves everybody. No, God loved everyone. Past tense. For God so loved. That's past tense. Not God loves. Not just God loves people and just continually keeps loving them. Now, I understand God is long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish. We know that and yet, coincidentally, there are many people that perish. In fact, Jesus said, broad is the way and wide is the gate which leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. He said, few there are that are saved. Yes, God loved past tense everybody at some point in their life. But look, we're going to read in Romans 1. In fact, go over to Romans 8. The people can reach a point where God no longer loves them. Hosea, I'll read to you. All their wickedness is in Gilgal. For there I hated them. This is the Lord speaking. I hated them, he says, for the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of my house. God saw what they're doing and he said, I hate them. He's going to drive them out. I will love them no more. I used to love them. Then I saw what they were into. I saw the desires of their own hearts. And I rejected them for rejecting me. And I hate them. I will love them no more. Don't sit there and tell me, oh, God loves everybody. God loves the homo. No, he doesn't. That's not biblical. That came out of your own vain imagination. Your own little soft spot for these predators. The Bible teaches you should hate. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so all do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. They're rejected concerning the faith. When it comes to whether or not they can be saved, we would look at the scripture and say, nope, they're rejected. They're corrupt minds. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. Titus chapter 1, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. There's a group of people out there today that are rejected by God. It's the Sodomite. And if, you know, there's a reprobate out there that isn't a Sodomite already, he's on his way. He or she are on their way. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves, knowing not your own selves and that Christ, Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Saying, look, Christ is in you unless you're a reprobate. Because if you're a reprobate, there's no possibility of the Spirit of Christ being in you. It's not even possible. Because you're rejected by God. That's what it means. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. He's saying here, look, you know, Jesus Christ is in you except you're a reprobate. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, and so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You know, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not Christ's. And he's saying here, look, and if you're a reprobate, you can't have it. Now, are there some people out there that don't have the Spirit of Christ and are not reprobates? Yeah. The children of men that are just lost, that we need to reach with the gospel, that we need to go out and get saved and pull out of the fire by any means possible. Yeah, there are people like that. But you know what? There's some people that don't have the Spirit of Christ and never will because they're reprobate. And don't come up to me after the service and try to argue this. You'll never convince me that a reprobate can be saved because that is the very definition of a reprobate. Somebody who's been rejected by God. Period. And people have all kinds of cute ways they want to tiptoe around this. I wish they just, you know, get a backbone and just say what the Bible says. But there's some people that God hates that he's rejected. Amen. They've been given over. And just say it like it is. Romans chapter 1 this morning. Go over there. You know we were bound to land in this passage at some point. In the New Testament, in case people out there don't know where that is, we're in the New Testament now for all these people that want to object and say, well, everything you're preaching is Old Testament. Well, we're in Romans chapter 1 now. Let's see what I've already read Jude for you. and several other passages from the New Testament. It's talked about people being reprobate. Let's go ahead and read Romans 1 and see what it says in the New Testament. It says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." So yeah, the gospel, you know, will reach anybody that believes. But you know the Bible says there's some people that can't believe. Jesus said that they cannot believe. Why? Because they're rejected. God rejected certain people, said it's not even possible for them to believe. And every homo salvation that I've ever heard of, you know what it all involves? The homo giving up their wicked sin. And these people that object and write the church and call the church and go on social media and run their mouth and they don't even know what the Bible says, you know what I would love to ask them? Well, let me ask you this. If the homo can be saved, do they have to give up their sin? Well, yeah, of course. But then that's not, that newsflash, that's works. You don't have to give up sin to be saved, friend. That's not in the Bible. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So if a reprobate, some sodomite, has to give up his filthy, wicked lifestyle to get saved, that's not salvation. And I guarantee, and every single sodomite, so-called salvation I've ever heard, has always involved that. Well, you know, I came to Jesus and gave up my worldly lifestyle, my wicked lifestyle. That's not salvation. And he said, why would they even do that? Because they know in the back of their minds, they're hellbound, they're rejected, and they're trying to soothe their own conscience in some way, trying to convince themselves that they have some other place they're going to end up other than hell. But the Bible teaches that's exactly where they're going, hell.
Amen.
It's the only place for them. Because they've been rejected by God, because God hates them, and so do I, and so should you.
Amen.
It says in verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God had showed it unto them." This is why God so loved the world. And God has, the Bible says that he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That people, even the heathens, they have the law of God written on their heart. They know that there is a God at some point. At some point along the line, people who have this witness in themselves have the testimony of creation. At some point in their life, reject God. And a lot of times, you know, it's unfortunate that a lot of ways these reprobates become reprobate is that, and as a young person, They are preyed upon by a reprobate. A lot of those, that's a lot of their testimonies. They have been molested and preyed upon by some reprobate. They get angry, they get bitter against God. Look, and they say, why would God let that happen? And they learn to hate God for what happened, and they themselves become a reprobate and perform the same act. Look, you know, if that's ever happened to you, you know, God didn't do that to you. Some vile, filthy reprobate did. God did not do that to you. Do not harden your heart against God. Amen. If something bad like that has ever happened to you. You know, that God didn't do that, and it's not your fault, it's not anyone's fault, but that vile, filthy, disgusting reprobate that should have been put down by the proper authorities.
Amen.
And if we had a country that would actually carry out a holy and righteous law called the Bible and do its job and get rid of these people permanently, put the sodomites out of the land, you know, a lot less people would have to suffer at their hands. A lot of less children would be taken advantage of and grow up to hate God and become reprobates themselves. It perpetuates itself. The Bible's saying here, look, they are without excuse. Why? Verse 20, "For the invisible things that from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." That's me and you. We are the things that are made, and we look at the invisible things of creation. We look at the things that are clearly seen and understand the invisible things. We look at creation and say, there is a God. God is real. Amen. And that should lead us on a path of who is God. And that will lead us to the Bible. That's my testimony as a young man wanting to know the truth, looking at the creation, looking at the stars, looking at the heavens, and saying to myself, there's no way it's a coincidence. It's not just a mere coincidence. It's not chance. There is a God, there is a creator. I had that testimony in my heart. I sought God, you know what, and I found him. Amen. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. Whosoever, you know, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone has that. And that's why it says there at the end of verse 20, so that they are without excuse. Because the things that are made are understood, being understood by these, even his eternal power and Godhead. Because that when they knew God, so people reach a point in their life where they say, there is a God. They knew God. They knew not that they had a relationship or that they accepted Christ as Savior. It's saying that they knew God, that, hey, that there was a God, that he existed. They glorified him not as God. Oh, this is who God is. Let me glorify him. Let me get saved. No, they neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the corruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and the glory, and birds and a four-footed beast and creeping things. Now, here's where the real important part comes in verse 24. Because they rejected God, when they knew God, they glorified not as God, neither were thankful, but their foolish heart was darkened, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into a corruptible image, four-footed beast and so forth. They made God up in their own image. Said, oh, yeah, there's a God, but it's not the God of the Bible. It's the God I'm going to make up in my own mind. That's what they do. What does that result in? How does God take that? When he puts creation, puts it in their hearts, makes himself known, gives us his holy word, this book, which is you can find in every corner of the globe. There's nowhere this book has not reached. And the testimony has gone out into all the world, the Bible says, several times over. And God has made himself known. God's not hiding in a corner somewhere. God wants people to know who he is. And when they find out who he is and they reject him, what's God's reaction? Oh, well, that's too bad. Maybe they'll find me later. Maybe they'll change their minds. No, verse 24 tells us how God takes it. Wherefore, God also gave them up. Amen. He gave up on them. There's a group of people out there called reprobates that are rejected by God that God gives up on. He says, well, you know what? I gave them the testimony of creation. I wrote the law of God in their heart. I pleaded with them. I've sent my spirit. I might even send a soul winner. I've given them my word. It's throughout all the earth. It's been published abroad. And they've rejected me. So you know what? I'm going to give up on them. To give up on me, he's going to give up on them. What does he give them up to? To uncleanness, through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own body between themselves. The Bible's teaching us that there are certain acts that you cannot perform until you've been given over and rejected by God. As soon as I find out somebody is a homo, I instantly know that person has been rejected by God. Because they are performing unnatural acts, which are not convenient, that you would only commit if you've been given over to a reprobate mind, if you've been rejected by God. That, you know, the perfect example I've always heard is trying to fall on your own face. You ever think about just trying to fall on your own face? Like, you think if I just stood here with my hands clasped, just hold my hands behind my back, I could just fall over flat on my face? I can't do it. My mind won't let me. My body will naturally catch itself. In fact, it won't even let me try. You know, this is what happens when you get older. You can't physically demonstrate these things. I could do it and probably, you know, hurt myself in the process. Probably get up with a cracked rib or something. You know what I'm not going to do? Just smash my face in the ground. Because I have a natural reaction to not do that. And that's the same way with this lust that's in their own hearts. There are certain acts that people will not perform until they've been rejected. No normal man looks at another man and has lustful thoughts and struggles with that. No one, until they've been given over to reprobate mind. There's no way any normal person could be tempted with that sin or fall into that sin until they've been rejected by God. Okay, that's what the Bible's teaching here. Then you know what? If people disagree with this, I would love to hear another explanation. Just preach it. Just say anything. But would you just please turn there in your Bible, thou Baptist preacher, and go there and explain what it means to me then. When it says that God gave them up to uncleanness through their own lusts of their own hearts to center their own bodies between themselves, who turned, and let's just jump to verse 26 for sake of time. For this cause, no, let's read verse 25. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie? Again, when they knew God, they glorified not as God. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, because they have rejected the creator, God gave them also up unto vile affections. disgusting desires. For even their, and then it goes on. Well, that vile affection, you know, maybe they're chain smokers. Is that what it's talking about here? Just your run-of-the-mill fornicator? Maybe they just don't clean up enough. Maybe they're just unsanitary. Is that what it's talking about? When it says vile affections, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves? This is the sin that God has given them up to. That's what it says. He says he's giving them up unto cleanness to the lust of their own flesh, to dishonor their own bodies. It's talking about physical sin. So what is it? What could it possibly be? What sin could the Bible be alluding to here? What is this vile affection that God has given them up unto? Well, it goes on and tells us in that very verse. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Look, the sodomite lifestyle, the acts of a sodomite, the physical acts they perform are against nature.
Right.
It's unnatural. And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman. Again, the Bible's delicate. It's being careful here to not go into detail. Because God understands that the drives, the desires to put a man, that we all figure out what, we know what the Bible's talking about here. The natural use of the woman. He says he's leaving, the men leave the natural use of the woman and burn in their own lust one toward another. Men working with men. That which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. They're, enter AIDS. Enter all the disgusting and vile things that happen to people who engage in that lifestyle. Enter, not living out half of a natural life. Enter, being responsible for the vast majority of pedophilia. That's what it leads to. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So it's not like God's just being mean. It's not like God's just randomly picking out somebody and saying, oh, you're a reprobate now. Go perform these unnatural acts. That's what, if you're reading along with me and understood that very carefully, that they're rejecting God. They're changing him into, they're changing the creator into the creature. They're creating him in their own image. And they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, the Bible says. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And we already talked about what reprobate means, doesn't it? Rejected. Rejected by God, specifically. God is giving them over unto a reprobate mind. A mind that has been rejected by God to do those things which are not convenient. Meaning it's not at hand. It does not come naturally. You have to go out of your way to make it happen. Right? That's why it's called the convenience store. Because it's right there. It's easy. Yeah, it costs a little bit more, but I don't have to go out of my way to get it. It's right there. I can just walk across the corner to Walgreens and get me a tub of Jerry's. Ben and Jerry's, by the way. Which, ironic I bring them up, those sodomites. Look, the Bible's teaching us very clearly here that there's some things that are not convenient. And that's what these people have been given up to. Things that are not natural. They've been given over to these things. Look, the acts that they perform, you have to go out of your way to get involved in that. I remember the town I grew up in, Michigan, we lived a couple blocks away from a place, a bar called Sidetracks. And everybody knew what that bar was about. That was where all the fags went. And that was, that was the good old days when you could go by in drive by in a school bus and go, look, that's where all the fags are. And the bus driver would just be like, uh-huh. Wouldn't slam on the brakes. Oh, that's right. I can't believe it. Half the bus gets offended. Parents get called. Everyone's going to say, yeah, that's where the fags are. And we even knew one guy who drove around like, oh, had long hair, plucked eyebrows. Say that. And the people were like, I've seen that guy dressed up as a woman. Everyone knew who the local fags were and would call them out. You know what's ironic about that place, Sidetracks? I'm not even kidding you. You could walk out. I mean, I never went there, but we all knew where it was. We saw it. We would go by and play in the river that was near there. We got to walk by that place. You know where it was? I kid you not. It was literally right next door to the sewage treatment plant. I lived two blocks away from it. And in some summer days, that wind would come through and just waft that smell of raw sewage. We have to close the windows. Thankfully, it wasn't that often. But these fags would go to that bar and they would hang around that smell. You know why? Because they're already used to it. Because they're playing in the sewer system every chance they get. Because they're into vile affections. That's why that smell didn't offend them. That's why they're more than happy to just go to that bar. That's literally next door to a sewage treatment facility. Just, you know, thousands and thousands of gallons of just raw sewage churning. Wafting up in the air. Why didn't that bother them fags? Because they're already used to it. Because they've been given over to vile affections. What else? What other affection could be so vile? What if that's not the affection God's talking about? That you tell me what it is. Well, picking your nose. There's no other affection like that. Look, fornication is filthy. It's wicked. The Bible condemns it, but it's not this vile affection. The Bible explains it. Clay draws it out black and white. Men with men, women with women is a vile, unnatural affection.
Amen.
Only reprobates can commit certain sins. And I know I'm going long this morning, but hopefully you can bear with me, because this is what needs to be preached. And unless you want to hear about it for the next several weeks, I need to get it off my chest too.
Amen.
And hopefully everybody in the room it just is you know, feeling this way in their heart. And I'm just up here echoing what the body believes and feels. It wants to hear a man get up, man of God get up and just rip on these homos this morning.
Because
I'm pissed off about what they did over there in El Monte.
Right.
I'm sick and tired of having their crap shoved in my face every time I get on YouTube or Facebook, or you know, having to see these sodomites everywhere in some magazine somewhere in some supermarket, having to get in a car on Thursday and go to work. And the Lyft driver picked me up wearing a rainbow flag across her face. You know what? No tick. And if it had been a man, I would have said, go on, get out of here. Not interested. I'll get another one. Something came up. It was a long, quiet ride in that car. And I'm sitting having to put up with these people. I'm hearing about their pride parades and their bombings of Baptist churches. I'm tired of it. I'm going to get it off my chest this morning. Look, you should hate the reprobate. They're predators. Nothing's beneath them. They've been rejected by God to vile affections, to commit only certain sins that only they can commit. Well, we know what those sins are. Say, well, what's the solution? Well, you know, we fight a spiritual warfare. And we give place to wrath, the Bible says. We do not avenge ourselves. Now, we're going to get up and preach. We're going to say what the Bible says should be done about it. And how we feel about it, we're going to let them know. We're not going anywhere. We're not backing down. You know, First Works Baptist Church of El Monte is going to go forward.
Amen.
They're not done. They haven't shut them down. They're having church this morning. They're going to go out and knock doors again.
Amen.
And they're going to keep going and keep going and keep going. You know, they've been around 3 years. This church, you know, Faithful Word Baptist Church has been around for 15. We had our protesters. You know what? And we backed them down.
Amen.
And we stood our ground. And I wish these Baptist preachers out there would go back on and do the same thing.
Amen.
You understand? If you just stand up to these bullies, they'll back down. It might be months. It might take forever. It might take some unusual circumstance to get them out of your hair, like a bombing. But eventually, if you just stand your ground, they will back down.
Amen.
But you know what they're used to? You know what they're used to is you know, a couple people showing up with a camera. And the pastor's going, oh, well, you know, I know I said that, but I didn't mean that. You know, this is what I really meant. I'm sorry. And apologizing. You know what they've run into? They've run into a group of people that are never going to apologize for the Word of God.
Amen.
Never. I will never apologize for what the Bible says. Amen. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of His statutes and His judgments and His testimony. I love them. They are precious to me. I'm going to preach it from the rooftops. That's who they run into this morning. They're finding that out real quick. We're not going to capitulate. We're not going to give them an inch.
Right.
But here's what else we're not going to do. Take matters into our own hands. The Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will pay, saith the Lord.
Amen.
And I would rather let God deal with these people. And whoever that coward is that threw a bomb in that Baptist church and spray painted their filth all over it, that guy, whoever that was, or whatever it was, God's going to deal with them. We might never find out who he is, who that person was. Guarantee you God knows. And if they're not a reprobate already, they're well on their way. And it wouldn't surprise me if they already were. And God's going to deal with them. And I can just sit back and say, well, that takes care of that. On to the next battle. On to the next sermon. On to the next door. Onward for Christ.
Amen.
And just rest assured that God's got it covered. And if that person never experiences the judgment of God in this life, they'll experience it in hell for all eternity.
Amen.
And every one of those freaks that was going to be parading their filth up and down that sidewalk in Belmonte, California this morning that were planning on doing that, God's going to deal with them in this life and for sure the next.
Amen.
For sure the next. For all we know, these freaks are a judgment of God upon our country for not standing up this filth earlier.
Right.
And backing down. God could give a whole country over to this filth. And just let it say, you don't want to preach it anymore? Okay, well then we'll just let them run rampant in your country. They are a judgment of God. But let me tell you what the Bible says should be done about them. They're condemned to death. They are condemned to death. That's what the Bible says in Romans. Read the rest of Romans. That they which do such things are worthy of death.
Amen.
And it's not talking about the fact, well, you know, for the wages of sin is death. It's talking about capital punishment. You know, God has a civil law in the Old Testament, and there are some things that are punished by death. Rape, incest, bestiality, adultery, and homos are all condemned by death. Let's go to Leviticus 20:13, lest we forget what the Bible says. Now, that's Old Testament. Yeah, but I just read Romans 1 that says that they which do some things are worthy of death. That God's going to burn them. They're going to suffer the eternal vengeance of hellfire. Well, but God wants to spare their natural life. No, friend, they can't get there quick enough. Leviticus 20:13, if a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with the woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So the Bible says. Well, that's Old Testament. Well, here's a New Testament verse to you, okay? First Timothy. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible says that all Scripture is profitable. You know what all Scripture would include? Leviticus 20:13 is part of that.
Yeah.
This hasn't been done away with. That's another sermon, and I know I'm going long. I got to close. But let's just remind ourselves that these people are worthy of death. So when I see them get some disease that's going to cut their life off early, they're going to die in their 40s or 50s, I don't shed a tear about it. When I hear about one of them getting so disgusted with themselves that they go ahead and decide to, you know, suck start a shotgun, I don't shed a tear. I say, good. Now they will be around to violate somebody else or, you know, physically attack and pervert somebody else. Or spread their filth and pervert somebody else's mind. Deuteronomy 20:23. Go to Leviticus 18. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 23, verse 17, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog. Do you notice how the Bible uses sodomite and dog interchangeably there?
Yeah.
Because they're brute beasts, is what the Bible says. That's how God sees the sodomite this morning, like a dog. Moves, even inanimate objects.
Right.
You know, they'll eat their own dung. They'll eat their own vomit. They're disgusting creatures. Now, I know we take them as pets and we clean them up and teach them out. Unfortunately, you know, you can't do that with the sodomite. That's unfortunate. I really don't care, to be honest. But what is it saying where it says, there shall be no whore, there shall be nor a sodomite? Look, he's saying there shall not be one. Is he saying that Israel is never going to have a sodomite in their land? Is that what he's saying here? No, friend. What he's saying is they shall not exist. Meaning if you find one, you get rid of them. And the Bible prescribes execution carried out by civil authorities. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. And that's what's triggered this whole thing. Somebody heard, oh, they're calling for the public execution. We're preaching what the Bible says. Yeah, do I really expect for homos to be publicly executed today? No. In fact, I'd be shocked if it ever... Do I really think the government's going to turn around and come to their senses on this and say, you know what, the Bible's right. These Baptist preachers, that's what it is with the Bible. Look, the civil government doesn't give a rip what this book says.
Yep.
But here's the thing, I do.
Amen.
I do care what this Bible says. I'm going to preach it. Look at Leviticus 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with my womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not yourself in any of these things, for all these things, the nations which I cast out before you, are defiled which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Even the land is made sick by this stuff and wants to vomit them out. That's an interesting concept. Look at verse 29. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them. Now, what are the abominations? Man lying with man like he would a woman. The vile affections that are discussed in Romans chapter 1. What does it say? That whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among the people. It doesn't mean that they're just going to put them on an island somewhere. They just round all these homos and just put them in another place. That's not what the Bible's talking about. The Bible says that they should be executed. That it is a capital crime worthy of death. So I can't believe you said that. You know what? That used to be the law on the land. You know, there's several countries in the world where it still is punishable by death. That is still the law of the land in certain countries today. So I guess it's not that strange after all when even the founding fathers agreed with that.
Right.
In colonial America, it was punishable by death. And then even after they stopped doing that for just, you know, decades and decades and decades, it was still illegal. It still landed you in jail. You couldn't adopt kids. But we're so progressive today. We've come so far. Yeah, look where it's led us. Look where it's led us. Bombings. People just committing the most abominable acts. Filth everywhere. People's minds being defiled. People being preyed upon by these predators. And that's why God has such a harsh punishment. Because he knows what it leads to. Because he knows that they're rejected. And he says, look, they should be cut off from among the people. He's saying, get them in hell as quick as you can. And you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, you know what? Here's how you should take this. Let me close by saying this. If God rejects somebody, so should we.
Yeah.
If God hates someone, so should we.
Yeah.
And I have no qualms about that. And that's where I'm at. When I find out there's people that God hates, I'm right along with them.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to go out and say, well, they're God's enemies, and that just gives me the right to just treat them, you know, go slash their tires and commit acts of vandalism on their property and threaten their lives. I'm not going to do any of that. You know what I'm going to do when I get amongst God's people and God's house? I'm going to stand up and tell people exactly what God thinks about all of them. And I'll put it on the internet, and I'll broadcast to the whole world, and I don't care who hears it and how they take it. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
That the homo is to be hated and rejected, and if we were living in a godly nation that executed righteous laws, they would be taken and put down.
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to do it. I'm not encouraging any kind of vigilantism. I'm not telling people to take matters in their own hands. But I'm just saying, this is what the Bible says this morning. And if you don't like it, you know, there's plenty of other churches that won't touch this with a 10-foot pole.
Right.
You know, I'll put a blindfold on you and spin you around and just send you walking. You'll run into one.
Oh.
2 Corinthians chapter 6. And by the way, you know, if you're not uncomfortable with this, you might as well just go now. You know, and if you're uncomfortable with the idea that maybe this sermon will get out there and we might have a similar situation that goes on, you know, just do me a favor and leave, because I don't need to be surrounded by a bunch of cowards.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I don't think anyone in the room is like that. I don't suspect anybody of that, but I'm just saying, if that's the way you feel, you might as well just go now. Because I'm not going to stop preaching this. And a bunch of sodomites aren't going to stop me either. They're not going to stop. They haven't stopped any of my preacher friends. You know, and I'm sure not going to be the first one that capitulates. That's not going to be the reputation I'm going to have.
Right.
I'm going to emulate these men of God. I'm going to emulate Pastor Stephen Anderson.
Amen.
I'm going to emulate Pastor Bruce Mejia. I'm going to emulate Pastor Jason Robinson. I'm going to emulate Pastor Roger Jimenez. I'm going to emulate, who else? Pastor Jonathan Shelley and Pastor Aaron Thompson And any other man of God that I know personally or not that stands up and preaches the whole counsel of the Word of God, including the truths that I have expressed here this morning, I'm going to emulate that man and preach it from the rooftops.
Amen.
And I'm not going to be ashamed of God's Word in this adulterous and wicked generation ever.
Amen.
If God rejects these people, so should we. You know, and I'm not going to go into 2 Corinthians where it tells us that we should not have anything to do with them. But I will read to you 2 Chronicles where it says this. And Jehu, the son of Hanani the seer, went out to meet him, talking about Ahab, that wicked king, and said to Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Say, look, you're a godly king, you were doing the right thing, but because you're going to go and team up with the ungodly that hate God, wrath is upon you. So, you know, you're scared what might happen if this kind of preaching gets out there. Well, whose wrath would you rather suffer this morning? Sodomites or God's?
Right.
Whose wrath would you rather incur this morning? The wrath of the Sodomite or God's? I'll take the Sodomite's wrath.
Yeah. Right.
Because God will avenge me of them.
Right.
But no one's going to spare me from God's wrath. Except God. When he sees me standing up and preaching the whole counsel. You know what? He's the same thing for you. When you get behind this kind of preaching, when you stand with the man of God, when you see a man of God be persecuted like this, you stand with him. You know what? One thing, you can guarantee yourself one thing. The only wrath you're incurring is the wrath to sunlight. Some stupid reply on Instagram or something. I'll take that any day before the wrath of God. And look, I hope, you know, if you don't have it, if you came in this morning not hating the homo, I hope I've preached well enough and explained enough scripture to you that you hate them now.
Amen.
Because if you don't hate the homo, you should.
Amen.
And if you have a soft spot for these vile freaks, you should go home and pray about it and reread these scriptures. Listen to this sermon. You know, it might get taken down, but I'll have a hard copy for you available.
Amen.
And we'll just keep re-uploading it everywhere we can.
Amen.
And if you're struggling with this, you know, and you need me to go over it a little bit more, I'm more than happy to do that. Because it's very important to me in the morning that you learn to do what God does and hate the homo.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for your perfect and holy word. We thank you for all the statutes and judgments that you've given us, Lord. Would to God that we lived in a world that upheld them. And Lord, we're not so foolish to think that this world's going to turn around. Lord, we believe and understand and know that this country is going straight to hell in a handbasket. It's evident to anybody who has their eyes open that you're judging us. And Lord, rightfully so, and even so, come, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that you help us as God's people to be a light, a Goshen in this Egypt. Lord, you help us to not walk in darkness, but to walk in the light of your word, and to preach all of it, and to believe all of it, and to embrace all of it, even if the hordes of hell come against us. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with First Works Baptist Church, over in El Monte, California, be with Pastor Mejia and his people, strengthen them, help them. And Lord, I pray that you would confound their adversaries, that they would be exposed for the filthy, vile reprobates that they are. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to hate them with the perfect hatred, even as you do. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to go ahead and sing Jesus Loves Me, song number 187. And you know what? Jesus does love me.
Amen.
And he loves everything I said this morning.
Amen.
Because it was straight out of his book.
Amen.
Song number 187.
Jesus loves me so.
Herbie Hancock there.
Are they getting better?